Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible Study. I'm Amy Spreeman. Today we're in the book of Colossians with teacher Beth Seifert. Make sure you go to naomistable.com and get the Colossians study guide to help you dig deeper. Well, let's open up our Bibles and begin today's lesson.
Well, welcome to our final lesson in this our study through the book of Colossians, ladies. Today is day 14, and I've titled this one, Miss You Lots. And it's in Colossians 4, verses 7 through 18. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Colossians 4, starting in verse 7. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him, and Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea, and say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Well, thus we see the closing of Paul's letter to the Colossians, which is why I called this lesson Miss You Lots. He ends, as he so often does, with specific greetings and commendations to the people he's writing to, reminding us that the matter of the gospel that Paul writes about was very personal. This wasn't just random information put down in a newsletter. This was specific to these very people, and we can see the relationship that was there. Now, Paul is sending this letter with Tychicus, a native of Asia Minor, and giving his commendation of Tychicus to these believers in Colossae. We also see in Ephesians 6, verses 21 through 22, so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing, Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will tell you everything. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. So Tychicus was bringing both a letter to the Colossians and to the Ephesians. This mention of who was bearing the message was an important part of these letters. At that time, you didn't know who you were welcoming into your midst when travelers came alone. Having this letter from Paul and having Paul vouch for you helped to make Tychicus' job easier and help these believers accept Tychicus' information more readily. Paul sends Tychicus so he can give them information on how things are going for Paul to encourage the Colossian believers. Paul also sends Onesimus. Now, this man who was once the slave of Philemon, who was from the Colossian area. Paul gives his commendation of Onesimus too and tells the people both these men will give them the lowdown. Now, that tells us that Onesimus and Tychicus were very well trusted by Paul if he gave them this charge to share what things are happening to Paul that he didn't write in the letter. And then we see Paul give more hints at what he is truly dealing with. Aristarchus, who is also, as Paul is, in prison, greets them as well. Mark, Barnabas's cousin, had left Paul and Barnabas when they were in Pamphylia sharing the gospel. Mark was needed, but he left. And because of that, Paul and Barnabas split up and stopped traveling together to share the gospel. Barnabas wanted to give Mark a second chance in Acts 15, but Paul wasn't convinced that Mark was ready to be given that second chance, and so they went their separate ways. It appears that at some point, Mark has grown up and is working with Paul in some fashion now. Paul tells the people that if Mark should come to them, that they should welcome him, just as they should welcome Jesus, who is called Justice. These three are the only men of Jewish origin who Paul works closely with, and they're a source of comfort and strength to him. The majority of the people Paul works with are not of Jewish descent, but Gentile. That was his calling, and he embraced that. Still, it must have been a comfort to be around other Jewish believers, people who shared the same history and could relate to Paul in a different way and provide comfort in a different way than the Gentiles could. Epaphras, who shared the gospel with Colossae, sends greetings and prayers for them to stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. Again, this also is verifying the authenticity of Paul's message. Epaphras knew these people, he knew their struggles, and knew what their growth issues were. This specific mention assures the people that their struggles are not forgotten, and Paul is also vouching for Epaphras and his earnest prayers and pleas for these believers. Luke, the physician, Paul's helper and scribe and everything else, also sends greetings with Demas. Notice that Luke is not identified among the circumcised. Luke was a Gentile, not a Jew. Now, Paul now switches from giving messages from others to giving messages to others. Remember, Paul hasn't actually been to this church in Colossae, but there are some that he does know personally in the Laodicean church, and Paul doesn't forget them. Remember, Laodicea was very close by Colossae, about 7 miles away, and these two cities were very close together, so sending greetings to each city by way of the other was not unheard of. He names Nympha and her house church to be given greetings to, and Paul instructs the Colossians to share this letter with Laodicea, and there is a letter to Laodicea, which is unfortunately lost to us, that is to be read in Colossae too. Archippus, who was perhaps the son of Philemon, is also sent a message. Now, we don't know what the context of this message was, if this was a rebuke or an encouragement. Without more context, we can only speculate. Either Paul was saying, "Keep on going, Archippus," or he was saying, "Straighten up and fly right, Archippus." We just don't know. But the message is the same. Fulfill the ministry you have been given by God. This is about you serving God, Archippus. Fulfill that. And Paul also includes a tiny bit in his own hand, again, to authenticate the letter as having come from him. Paul writes for himself so very rarely that we know that it was a struggle for him to do so. Again, we know that, but Paul doesn't mention that as a major concern when he sends these missives. His concern is for preaching Christ. Any bit of the letter that was written in his own hand was important and significant, and it showed them that they were important to Paul too. Paul once more entreats them not to forget him as he sits in prison. Unfortunately, we see that Paul was basically forgotten in many ways while he languished in prison, waiting to be seen by Caesar. Yet even then, Paul doesn't lose heart, but presses on, encouraged to do what he has been called to do, share the gospel with all nations. This letter was written to be understood by ordinary believers, and the public reading of this letter reflects Paul's authority. So everyone could understand it, and it was meant to be read out to the Colossians and Laodiceans and whoever else that could get their hands on this letter. And that's it. That's all that Paul writes to the church in Colossae. Yet there's so much, isn't there? We can simply never have too many reminders of who Christ truly is. We can never have too many reminders of what the life of a Christian should and should not look like. Especially as these days grow darker, and I'm not talking about winter here. Christians, true followers of Christ, will stand out more and more. We won't be able to blend, because as the culture follows their sinful depravity, the gulf between culture and Christ followers will widen. If you don't notice that gulf widening, you should really ask yourself which side of the gulf you're actually standing on. Read back through the book of Colossians today. It's not long, and you can do it. Consider who Christ is. Fully God and fully man. Consider the guidelines that Paul gives to believers regarding their conduct toward God and toward other believers. How are you doing with regard to your spouse, your children, your parents, your employers or employees? Are you doing everything as unto the Lord? Are you content with the knowledge that you have of God and think you don't need to learn anymore? Well, perhaps it's time to dig into Scripture a little deeper, to learn and grow and glorify Him in your daily life as you walk in Him. Our walk won't be finished until He calls us home. If you've been resting by the wayside, get up. Brush the cobwebs off and move. Move with Him and toward Him. Align yourself with Him today and every day, and don't rest on your laurels. He is calling us on to knowledge of Him, and to lives lived more like his every day. Are you answering that call with obedience or not? Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab of our website, naomistable.com, day 14. Miss you lots.